This episode of The Instance is brought to you in part by patreon.com/frogpants. It's where you can contribute to the Frog Pants Network and directly to The Instance or other shows you might like on the network. It's a great way for you to be our boss. That's at patreon.com/frogpants. Give just a tiny bit. Imagine a buck a month. That's like one song from Amazon. You don't need that dollar anyway. Come on now. Toss it our way. Help us grow. Help the show stay awesome and be on the air for a very long time. Again, the address is patreon.com/frogpants.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, the World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. Episode 383. Good Lord. My name is Scott Johnson.
Scott, you're an entire year and a half behind right
now. I know, dude. What the heck? It is, what is the date? I don't even know. Saturday. We're doing a Saturday episode because we couldn't do Friday. September 27th, 2014. I'm Scott, and that is Dills. Hey, man.
Hello, Scott. I am Dills.
How's it going?
Right when the show started. So yesterday we couldn't do the show because of my poopy Comcast.
Yeah, poopy Comcast, baby. Comcast. What was going on with those losers? What happened there?
Well, apparently no internet coming into my house, but whatever.
That's not good.
All the routers working, so everything looked like I had signal, you know? And I was very confused for a little while.
Yeah.
And I finally realized, oh, yeah, the Wi-Fi is not actually the internet.
Hmm. Right. And the one thing you pay for, which is for internet to come into the house, was not coming into the house.
No, although apparently Comcast makes like $300 million off of just router renting. Do you know this?
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's a lot of scratch.
That's ridiculous, yeah.
No wonder they encouraged me to do that instead of get my own.
Instead of buy your own, that's much better. Yeah. They give you this piece of crap, too.
Yeah.
It's a crappy old tower-type router, and it's just awful.
The big black tower of buzzing, I call it, because mine creates some line noise I have to remove from every show I record. It's super annoying.
Oh, does it really?
It did until I got it.
We use an airport, whatever it is. I can't remember.
Airport Extreme.
Yeah. There you go.
Those are good.
I used to work for Apple. I should know this. But no, but right when we started the show just now, as you said, 3, 2, it went like this. 3, 2, 1. And I was like, oh, God, no. Don't do it.
That's how it goes. And right when the most important robot thing is about to happen. Well, hopefully it holds up. We'll see.
It seems okay again out of nowhere. So, yeah.
You were mentioning earlier that Twitch might be a little heavy loaded today. So we have a live viewership right now. They're all sort of going, why is this on Saturday? And here we are. And that's fine and all. But we hope it holds because there is a lot going on Twitch today in both Blizzard and other arenas.
And, this is a lot, yeah. Right now, esports is really popping off. I think the fact that Twitch is so kind of prevalent these days and so successful has really kind of brought a lot of the esports out. I mean, it was already kind of there, but now the platform is real.
Platform's real, relatively solid, and now in more rich hands. So one could assume
that's got that Amazon scratch.
Yes, yeah. Right. Now you figure it'll just grow and grow because once you have a platform, then it's just about people putting things on it. YouTube proved that with other, you know, other ways of doing things, not necessarily live stuff, but they proved that with that. And certainly podcasting has proved that with its own little weird world. And why not, you know, why not esports exploding this way? Here's what I predict, though, like those other formats, eventually what will happen is you'll end up with real superstars like ginormous PewDiePie level 30 million subscriber people.
Yeah. The big superstars before were like the YouTubers who maybe weren't necessarily really good at their games.
Mm-hmm.
They were just entertaining.
Sure.
Right?
Goofing around.
Now we're going to start getting some, it's maybe it'll be like Korean level stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe there'll be girls waiting outside to give you presents.
Presents. I like that word, presents. Yeah. That's good. That was a good, appropriate word to use. What they're waiting outside to give you is a present. Yes.
Like have you that. Not watched the thing about the Korean StarCraft players?
I have, and it's insane. Okay. Yeah. No, they're
they're all standing around in a circle around this kid. And then you know, he's the shyest, most awkward kid ever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's a video game player.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that they're like, okay, let's leave him alone. Everybody give him your presents.
Yeah.
And then they all walk up and they have bags of stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Just random crap.
They are mega world superstars. It's the weirdest thing. And it's going to keep getting weirder, man.
Yeah.
It's going to get weirder. What's funny is we're not going to, I don't think the United States are going to dominate this particular area of pseudo sport like we have in other areas. So I know like in, you know, international soccer, we're no big deal, right? Nobody cares about U.S. stars or whatever. Occasionally somebody with some cool dreads will pop out and be good and we'll get excited about him for about 5 minutes. But for the most part, that's international dudes. I feel like esports is going to go that direction. Not that we're not into it here. We'll be way into it. But we're not going to be producing the best players. That's already kind of proven out, don't you think?
Yeah. No, I think you're going to see a lot of EU and Korean and stuff players are going to be.
China, too.
Yeah, man. And obviously Korea. Yeah, well, China, too. They have a big pool of people to choose from. But, yeah, I mean, obviously Korea, they have the culture around it. Mm-hmm. So this is what good internet does, apparently. And, you know, maybe if I had better internet, Scott, maybe I'd be an esports star.
That's right. By now, you'd be Road to BlizzCon, Hearthstone competitor, man.
I'm blaming it on Comcast, man. They're holding me back.
Bastard, see? This is why the U.S. can't win. We're stuck in 1990s.
Yeah, we've got 1990s internet Comcast. Thinking.
Lamers.
Get on this, Al Gore. What's going on, buddy? What's going on?
You invented it. Fix it. So, all right. I didn't do much in the way of WoW this week, although I did a lot of like watching videos, and we'll get to that in the news, but I watched a lot of WoW stuff and
a lot of hype around the game.
But I'm so beyond stoked for the expansion. It's just kind of ridiculous, but it's just making me less and less interested in playing current content.
I guess that's the problem, is that when you're so hyped about the future stuff, and then you log in, you're like, it's just not that yet, and that's what I want to play.
Yeah.
What about the beta? Have you been messing with that at all?
A little bit. Like when I hear about something significant or that they're showing something earlier in the beta that you look at for the first time, I'll go do that. And I noticed the background downloader 6.02 or whatever is already kicking in.
Yeah,
That seems early to me. I don't know why. We're a good month and a half away from the game's release.
Some assets that need to be in there. So.
I guess so. That just surprised me. It's 9 gig worth. And the reason I noticed it is I actually was hopping in to play Diablo. I was going to run a couple of riffs, and I noticed, this will not update until your other game is finished. Like, what other game? And it was taking forever, and I couldn't see any kind of progress anywhere. And then I noticed the icon's different. It's just like background downloader. Hey, we're putting 9 gig worth of preloader poop on here. I didn't think that stopped other games from updating, but that Heroes of the Storm and maybe a Hearthstone update or something else StarCraft wouldn't update. And so I went and paused that, and then everything else updated and then went back and unpaused it. I thought that was even a bug. I don't know. But to see that was coming up already. I mean, I'm just jonesing. I'm super, super stoked for that damn thing to be released on the 13th of.
Yeah, the thing is, we know the date this time. So
yeah.
I think in previous years too, when the expansion was close, we didn't know what day, and we knew it was at least close.
Yeah, this was one of the indicators, right?
A little bit more in there, yeah. But now, I mean, we just know. So I'll just sit back and wait.
Yeah.
By the way, have you thought about doing stuff to try to get the cloak, or is that?
You know how you and I talked about it, and we said, yeah, maybe these advantages to getting it now is, you know, the removal of the Valor thing and all that. Maybe that'll get us there. And I got all excited about it. And then I kind of forgot and just didn't care.
It didn't work. Yeah. Then you started like being like, well, you know what I could do in Diablo right now? I could get a legendary right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I did. And then I've done other weird things, like don't ask me why, but I started a new character in Skyrim for no reason.
And really? Then,
yeah, I don't know why. I think I know.
Are you playing PC or are you playing
PC?
Okay.
And the reason I think I did that was because I wanted to see. Well, initially the reasoning was I wanted to see all these graphical mods that people have been putting out, and I just never bothered with it before. So I'd loaded all those up, and it looked really nice. I thought, this is cool, but I don't remember where I am in my 300-hour playthrough.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go and start a new guy, and then I went way down that rabbit hole, and then. That got me further away from worrying about a cloak in Warcraft.
You know, a game like that could really benefit, and there's probably a lot of games that could benefit from some sort of way to log in and get caught up on what your character has and has not done.
Oh my gosh.
Some sort of a log, or I don't know.
It's so huge, though. I can't even imagine how they do it. Like,
I know it'd have to be digestible in some way. Game,
there are some major story quests in there that are still broken for me that I had to cheat to get around because that game just, you know, open world games have their jank. And there were moments in there where, Like, for example, I had the vampirism thing and I had to do the quest to talk to the guy who would cleanse me of it. I could not get him to cleanse me. Instead, he just tried to kill me. And I can't remember how that all played out, but in the end, I finally just cheated past it so I could have it cleaned because I was sick of having vampirism and having that whole problem and nobody anywhere would trust me or whatever. Went back to that guy so I can get to the next step of his quest, and he just sits there and stares at me. He still has the quest, but he won't do anything. So I janked it up myself by using that code to get rid of it. But regardless of all that, it's one of the things I actually like about the game is how freaking weird it is. But if they could ever,
so many random rabbit holes you could kind of find your way down.
It's crazy. And some of them break, some of them work, some of them worked, but actually broke and you didn't know it, or, you know, just a weird ass game. And I missed it and I thought, well, I'll just poke my head in here. And I ended up poking my head in there for like 6 hours. And it's just, whatever. It is what it is. It still isn't driving me to want to play that MMO until it goes free to play. But I'll try it.
To me, it's the combat and also the fact that all those games are like heavily there's a huge plot point of you being this special thing.
Mm.
And it doesn't work in that world to have it as an MMO.
No, I agree. Also, one thing I did notice about speaking of Draenor again and Diablo was the BlizzCon gifts for, your digital rewards.
Yes.
I did not know those Draenor transmogs coming to Diablo 3 were even a thing. Somehow I'd missed that. And those are awesome. Oh my gosh. It's basically Horde gear in Diablo, and it looks amazing. I cannot wait for that stuff. And
by the way, did you notice transmogs. The PTR has the you can get the motorcycles now?
No.
What?
It's in there. Yeah.
Can you ride around on it?
Yeah.
No get way. You can go, but what happens if you claim it? I guess you can't.
Well, you already have it. Like, you've claimed it, but it's not like it's not released in the game.
Oh, that's
yet.
True, because you just had to log in between whatever days.
People were posting pictures of them on their bikes and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. So here's the funny bit. So I did try to get into WoW last night, and it wouldn't let me in. And I'm like, what's going on here? And I check the website, and it says denied or something. And I'm thinking, oh, no.
Denied?
I know. It sounds like I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
And I dug around and it just turns out because I had one of those year prepaid cards for the game. Uh-huh. It ran out. And so yesterday it ran out.
I thought you had a 25 year card.
No, remember I had that, but then that person left Blizzard. And when you leave Blizzard, it goes away.
It goes away, huh?
Yeah. It doesn't stick around forever. Everyone thinks those cards are forever, but if the person who gave it to you is not working at Blizzard anymore, that card is dead. Yeah. Okay. So I'm paying for mine again. But
all right.
So I paid for a year last year or whatever it was, and I just ran out.
Terpster's the only one. Were me and you, or
I don't think. I think he. I don't think he does either now. I think something happened to his. I'm not 100% sure about that. At least maybe his U.S.
They're really
account.
Cutting back now that they're not at 12.9 anymore, aren't they? Like, all right, Scott Terpster, give those back.
Well, maybe they're just being less. I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I haven't even heard a peep yet about press passes. I don't know what's going on with that for BlizzCon. Crap.
Get on that.
Not a word. And usually it's well before now that we've heard something, and that's making me nervous.
Yeah, let's be nervous about that.
Yeah, let's figure that one out. Anyway, it's all good. I am looking forward to those D3 transmogs, and I am very much looking forward to Draenor proper. And Terpster's busy at an EU game conference, so he's got nothing to say today. But I am dying to hear about you and your foray before we get to all the news, everybody. That's coming right up. But your foray into Magic the freaking Gathering.
Yeah, I bought the cards.
Yeah.
I think I told you.
Yeah, last week last you had show, purchased cards or something.
Yes, we had cards. Yeah. We had not played a game yet. So I did go to game night, SF game night in San Francisco. They now do it on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so I went on Tuesday, and some people were there just to play Magic against me, some people on Twitter and stuff. My buddy Joe, so that was cool, and who I actually met at Nerdtacular.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he was there, and he brought his cards just to play against me, and then some of the guys who work for game night played, and my first game ever. We sat down, and the guy didn't have any cards with him, so it was my friend Cal who works there. So I just gave him one of my decks that I had made, and I used the other deck I had made. So I figured that would probably be fairly balanced because these are both crappy decks I made that I don't know anything about what's good and bad.
Sure.
And they actually were fairly balanced. We had a good game. I ended up pulling it out in the end, so I won my first game ever.
Yeah.
And there was like, I don't know, 9 or 10 people watching while we were playing, and they all knew a lot about Magic. Mm. And so like I'm playing and I'm okay, I got this move, I got that move, and then I'll do something. And he's like, oh, but you know that that's just gonna die if you do that, right? And I'm like, why? Why would it die? He's like, well, it was already attacked by this and that, and then he taps this so he can do. And I was like, okay, all right, never mind. I'm taking that back. And Apparently, you're not supposed to be able to do that. So I don't know. I still have a long ways to go. It's so friggin' complicated.
Yeah, it's a big ball of complicated stuff compared to say Hearthstone, right? Like it's not even in the same league, really, in terms of
every card has some really weird specific mechanic, and while it's out there, you got to remember that thing's out there
and active.
And
he
can tap it, and how much mana does he have untapped? He could use that at any point to do this thing, combat tricks, you know. But then I thought that was complicated until I played 3-man EDH game, which is the commander decks. And that's a 100-card deck. There's no doubles of anything. It's all single cards. And you have a commander. Have you played this, Scott?
This is vaguely familiar because I've sat and watched a lot of this, but it's not very... I couldn't tell you the in or outs of it at all.
So I didn't know the deck either because it was also loaned to me just to play.
Sure.
And then this guy came with a super sweet mustache named Jeremy, and he runs a Sunday Magic group here in San Francisco. So he knows how to play really well. And then Dwayne, who I also, this is another guy, hit me up on Twitter. I'm going to be in San Francisco on Thursday. He came by and played. So we did a 3-man EDH game, and holy crap. That was, you started at 40 life too. It's like, it's like this long drawn out version.
Yeah.
And it was super fun, actually. It was really, really fun. The complexity is what makes that game fun. It's just, you know, there's so much going on that you really have to kind of think through all of your moves. Mm-hmm. And it's a different part of your brain than Hearthstone. I mean, Hearthstone is very much about more of a kind of getting a read on the other guy, making the correct move for the correct moment with the correct amount of mana. Whereas, you know, Magic is more about keeping everything, like just knowing what all of the cards on the board have and what their potential effects are, and utilizing those to give yourself the best advantage. So
That's
just it exercises a different piece of the brain, but I think I was picking it up okay. And I won that game too, by the way.
So how far down that hole you think you're going to go?
I'm going to go pretty far, man. I got Magic Online. so I got that client rocking. All right. And I don't have any good cards on there yet, but I feel like this is going to help me be able to talk better about Hearthstone, be better at Hearthstone. I think that, you know, it's, if anybody wants to be into a card game, you should probably check out Magic.
Well, I mean, they've said as much at Blizzard multiple times that the reason that Hearthstone even came to be is because of so many people there at the office obsessed with Magic. I mean, it is the roots of this, so there are connective tissues there that certainly aren't going to be. You're not going to diminish your Hearthstone skills by playing a bunch of Magic.
No, absolutely not. It can only benefit from playing a game like this.
Sure,
I really do like the fact that they. Yeah, it's good that Hearthstone is the way Hearthstone is, and it's good that Magic is the way Magic is, because they're such opposite ends of the spectrum as far as, you know, how many different mechanics are in the game. Every time they put out a new set, apparently they add a new mechanic, and it's, you know, that's kind of the theme of that new set.
Yeah.
And so each kind of set has this, like, oh, what is this? You know, Convex or whatever, or Convoke, or, well, I don't even know. There's too many different ones. But it's really, really fun, and I'll probably be at a lot of the game nights playing, and hopefully I'll be doing some of the Friday Night Magics soon again to do the drafting and all that. That's what I really want to check out now is the drafting.
Yeah. Well, I like there's an innocence quality to what you're doing. Like I'm the new guy, and I'm just going to take this as it comes, and I'm going to keep working at it, and I like what I've seen so far, and I like it in gaming when we see... for lack of a better term, a noob entering a new thing that he will just get better and better at. And there's a purity to that. And I like that it's not full of toxicity and that people aren't being dicks to you, that you just get to go with people who are cool and play this thing. You know what I mean?
I'll say this. The community around this game is awesome because by default, it has to be social. Yeah. You have to sit across the table from somebody.
Sure.
And I'm sure if you get into super competitive Magic, there's going to be some dickheads out there.
Sure.
But when you're just playing, you know, friends or people that, you know, so far, anybody who's walked up and we've been playing, you know, we're playing in this bar that's full of people who are there to play video games.
Yeah.
And tons of people will just walk up and say, oh, what are you guys playing? What kind of game? What format? What kind of deck is it? And they have a lot of questions and stuff. And I, at first, before I had actually played against somebody and I just had the cards, I was like, all right, I'm going to buy these cards. I'm going to figure some stuff out.
Yeah.
It was all very intimidating.
Yeah, I bet.
There's a ton of formats, a ton of cards. There's just a lot to know, and you feel like you don't know any of it. Mm. And so the barrier of entry felt pretty high. But once you just go out and play, suddenly it doesn't feel that overwhelming anymore.
Not that big a deal, sure.
Yeah. So excited to see where we end up with this one. But, all right. And also, anybody who's at BlizzCon, I'll bring some Magic cards.
Yeah.
Guildhall Magic.
Yeah, wherever it takes, man. Sit down with some cards, assuming we have passes. Sit down with us and play play a little Magic, or at least with Dills. I have seriously zero concept of how to play Magic the Gathering. I just know I like the artwork a lot. So there's that.
Okay.
Let's get into some news here.
Big news of the week.
Big news.
Big news of the week brought to you by Doghouse Systems, and they're having a big sale on their 17-inch laptops. I wanted people to be aware of this. This is a limited-time deal, and you want to get on this right away if you're looking for a good portable gaming laptop. It's a big clearance sale on their Mobius TL specials and a very low price. 17-inch full HD displays, Intel Core i7s, NVIDIA GeForce 670MX graphics cards, a whole bunch more. Limited stock available. They're starting at $1,795 for a high-powered 17-inch gaming notebook. That is a freaking steal. So get your hands on one over at doghousesystems.com. Again, those are only $1,795. They are limited. If you were putting that off and you want to go portable with your gaming, now's the time at doghousesystems.com. So go check those guys out. All right, after this big story of the week, clearly, and a lot of people have already been talking your ears off about this, folks, but we don't care. We're going to talk about it anyway. 7 years of development, Titan has been canceled.
Titan canceled. No more
years.
Titan.
Oh, boy. Now, how much, you know, how far they got or what, all were all 7 years intense and expensive, or was the first couple of years all concepting, or, you know, what? We don't know.
Some of it was expensive for sure. There's no way it wasn't.
I suspect they spent tens of millions of dollars, potentially more, because we at least have some idea of who was involved with it in terms of top talent and development costs, and
they made a playable version for themselves at some point.
Internally, so, they were playing this game.
Yeah.
That means a lot of art, a lot of assets, maybe not complete, maybe not totally feature complete, but certainly they'd gone pretty far. Now, here's what we knew about the game, and this is what a bunch of people are saying on different sites. Kotaku had a big write-up. Other people have said some things, and we've heard things over the years, but what we knew was that it was an MMO set in the future on Earth after an alien invasion with a very large world, a world of aliens. Three factions trying to control the planet. So we knew that we think we knew that. Let's see. They skip past that. I don't care about that. It was kind of Team Fortress, StarCraft 2, and The Incredibles have all been named as comparisons in terms of like inspiration.
Visuals,
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Player run businesses and shops, families, relationships with NPCs, advanced AI made it feel like more of a living world. These are all little things people have slipped here and there. But it doesn't really give us a complete picture of what this thing was going to be. No. You know, a lot of people.
It sounds like it was a combination of like a Team Fortress, The Sims, and like a Call of Duty. Because I heard that like some of the fighting was actually like the FPS kind of style of stuff.
A shooter thing. That was a lot of the rumor. So some people have suggested, and I think it's silly to suggest this, but that it was canned because Activision was having trouble with that and Destiny being part of the same publisher, and that it would somehow conflict with each other. I believe it when Mike Morhaime and Chris Metzen, when they spoke to Polygon, said that the reason they canned it is because they weren't happy with it. This is not unusual for them. They've done this multiple times, and I could give you 10 games they've canceled, but the three biggest probably in the top of people's memories would be StarCraft Ghosts, Warcraft Adventures, and maybe, what was that other one? There was a new one they were working on, some other sort of sci-fi thing that's not that recent. But anyway,
StarCraft Ghosts.
Ghost was a big one. I mean, they've shown before that even right up till almost done, they are willing to shit can a project if they don't believe it's fun or as fun as it should be or coming together or whatever terminology you want to use.
Yeah, and we don't know exactly what about this game wasn't working for them. It, you know, maybe it just wasn't that fun. I don't know. It easily could have been that. I mean, it sounds very It all sounds very huge. It's large in scope. It's all of that stuff. But that doesn't necessarily make a game good. No. Just the fact there's a lot of stuff to do.
Sure. And it may not be their standard of whatever. I also think a lot of this is existential stuff about what are MMOs 7 years later anyway. What is this market we're in now? It's a weird place because Blizzard still dominates. Yeah,
would this even work now? If we put this out now, would people even come to this?
Sure. 7 years ago was a very different market. That was a very different time. I mean, that was only a few years into WoW's release, and you know, that was a long time ago. So, what works today was this going to have to be force fed a free to play model versus what would have presumably been a subscription model in the beginning? Like all of those play a factor in this, but moreover, I think that they, by some of their comments in that article on Polygon, basically looked at the landscape and said, What are we doing actually? Why are we making another MMO? I mean, is this market a place where we want to go ahead and have a second one? I mean, they basically set out. I mean, here's what Morheim and Metzen told Polygon about the cancellation. The team set out to make another amazing MMO after World of Warcraft, but they didn't find the fun or the passion. Metzen said the decision to cancel Titan was excruciating, but canceling projects has always been resulted in better quality work, and Metzen referred to it as the discipline to cancel. Or the discipline to give up is a hard one, but an essential one for Blizzard, and always has been. They said basically they don't want to spend time working on another MMO. Hearthstone and Heroes of the Storm helped them realize they have chances to do things that aren't giant, huge, ridiculous projects that they can do these smaller things.
Too.
Sure,
and crush at it.
Yeah, so, and do really well. Yeah,
they just came out and said that we have 20 million players of Hearthstone.
That's insane.
And it, you know, so at its height, World of Warcraft was 12 million. So Hearthstone has surpassed that. And maybe these aren't all active people, but that's 20. I mean, you got iPad, soon to be iPhone, soon to all be the Android, stuff. Yeah, yeah. And you got 20 million already. And now how high are we going to get once it's on all of the devices?
Sure. And Heroes of the Storm will succeed. Whether it succeeds on the level of LOL or freaking Dota 2 is yet to be seen, but it will succeed. I guarantee you that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So they've got these smaller projects that do really well. They've got other great franchises that are already doing really well. Diablo 3 still holds the number one spot for the best-selling PC game of all time. Like, these are crazy numbers that they already deal with.
So much crap about Diablo 2. You talk all this crap, but let's look at these numbers here.
Yeah, they did really well. Besides, it doesn't matter. I mean, anything anyone says post 2.0 is not playing the game, because that game is insane right now. But the point is this. If they wanted to make another MMO and push it to market, they could. I just get the feeling that they probably
cannibalizing your own product.
Yeah, and they had a reassessment. They said, you know what? If we could just throw our guts and love and passion to do things with WoW. Okay, here's what I think about the whole. What does this mean for WoW? And here's where, for me, the most positive spin comes from. There's two things I hope we hear. One, what was this game? And just give us a postmortem on kind of what you wanted to do. And then let's let it die the way it should. But I'd kind of like to know.
I think all of us Blizzard fanboys out there, we have a right to know.
They're not going to say, I bet they don't, but I wish they would. I really wish they would, but I bet they don't. Because a lot of this stuff gets rolled into other things. That leads me to my other point, which is I think WoW now becomes their MMO focus 100%. It was already a major focus, and it's the reason they are even able to do all these other projects. So it was already their big mothership.
He said very clearly, canceling projects always results in better work. Well, the better work is, I believe, World of Warcraft.
I agree.
That's going to get the good work.
I agree. And I think
there's no resources to devote anywhere else.
And he said, now we're not going to take off the table that one day we might build another MMO. When you say statements like that, what that means is you are going to focus on the one you have, the one that is dominant, and the one that is also kind of feeding your other projects, Hearthstone specifically, Heroes of the Storm in a related way, along with their other franchises. But Warcraft can breed other things. The point is that now you can focus purely on World of Warcraft, and that probably means instead of it just being this little, the older MMO that's just running parallel with our new one, now you can make big, risky decisions with it, like... Yeah. We're going to overhaul the graphics engine completely at some point, or we're literally going to have a WoW 2 and truly focus on a sequel to this game. That seems much more likely to me now than it did a week ago before this cancellation.
Absolutely. The world is so deep in World of Warcraft that it would be a shame if Titan did come out and then somehow that made WoW suffer. It would be a like truly a shame. And we talked about this on the show many times that, well, what's going to be the WoW killer? Oh, it's going to be the other MMO that Blizzard makes. Mm-hmm. And that would suck if Blizzard made an MMO and then killed WoW with it.
Yeah.
Because this game, there's so much history. There's so much depth. And we've put so much time into it as people that I don't know. I don't want to really let go yet. And I don't think it's time to. I think there's still so much more to explore here. There's so much more that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
This excites me for the future of World of Warcraft. And yeah, it's kind of a bummer because we were excited about Titan and whatever that could be. But at this point, could it have ever lived up to the hype that we made of, you know, like inside myself, I thought, this is going to be the best thing that's ever happened in the history of gaming.
Yeah.
Well, 7 years later, it clearly wasn't going to be.
And it could have. Maybe it could have. It didn't reach their expectations. Maybe. But if they would have gotten, if they would have found what they loved about it, I have some faith in me that I would have all that I would have been super pleased with it because they've never really made a game I've hated, or disliked in any way. So we're total Blizzard fanboys. We admit that on a pretty weekly basis.
Oh yeah, come on, whatever.
Whatever, man. Care. Trolls still like.
Hey, you
want to
send us an email making fun of me for that?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Go ahead, man. We'll take it.
Yeah,
but
have at it.
But I really believe that that WoW benefits from this drop. And there was a lot of turmoil on Twitter and Facebook, which I know it's dumb to even mention it because of course there was. But people are flipping out and saying, I can't believe you work on something for 7 years and you just can't like that. How do you do that? I'm like, no, you guys, you want developers to retain this level of bravery with their products. And yes, they've got the money to do it now, but they've done it in much more tight times. They've done this when they did this with Warcraft Adventures or with Starcraft Ghost. There was no World of Warcraft then. I guess a year or so into the game when Ghost was supposed to come out. So I guess sort of there's some crossover there. But my point is that hadn't made them this mountain of money, and so now they can make these willy-nilly changes like this and just cancel a 7-year project. They've always been willing to do it, always to the detriment of the cost of the thing, but to the betterment of the company and the betterment of other projects and the betterment of why Blizzard, is the success that they are. And to say you want a company to go ahead and say, well, we're not really happy with it, but we'll go ahead and push it out anyway, what are you actually asking for? You're the same people that complain that EA does this. You're the same people that complain that Activision and other publishers force projects on us before they're finished or when they're not any good or when vision has been lost or whatever. How are you the same people that are now saying, well, damn it, Blizzard, release your game?
Yeah, give me your pile of poop that you don't think is very good. I want it. I will pay $60 for it. No, whatever. You're going to complain about that.
Just give me a documentary about it. Now, that's where I'm interested.
Talk to me about it. That's all I really want.
I just
want
to hear about what it was. And now go focus on your better work, and that's great, but I'd really like to know. And it's not just this. I want documentaries on all kinds of all the weird gaming stories you hear about Daikatana or freaking John Carmack leaving id Software and what really happened when he left. And like, I want to know all those stories, and Blizzard's got plenty of those. I know they do. Like, just amazing stories about, I don't know, weird failures, great successes. But this is in keeping, I guess, to finish this out, I would say what happened with this 7-year cycle and this cancellation is in keeping with what Blizzard has done in the past. So for people who are flipping out in the negative, this is their mode. Now, some of you might be, I don't know, too young to remember all that, and that's fine. I understand that. But that this is how they've always rolled. And the fact that they still do it in the face of now shareholders and a giant publisher owning a huge portion of them, the fact that they still can do that, we should be celebrating that they can still do that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Otherwise,
it's a big deal.
Yeah, and they're not. By the way, I don't know if you noticed this. They didn't announce a simultaneous giant layoff of all the people working on it. They are now being absorbed into other projects. Some of it new that we don't even know about, and likely are taking with them the things that worked and are applying them in other ways. So I see this as a positive thing. It's weird to me that everyone got so freaking negative. I guess we all wanted to see it, obviously, but. And it's only a huge deal because it's Blizzard. But yeah, you want this, man.
If it's a different company, they say, that the bottom line is we spent this amount of money on it, so we need to try to recoup some of that by putting the game out.
Yeah, no, that's exactly
it. Blizzard doesn't have to worry about that.
No, and they don't want to worry. And that's a bad way of doing business because then down the road, it bites you in the ass. Remember that terrible thing you did?
your reputation suffers based on that. And now all of a sudden you're not Blizzard, the company that always puts out amazing games. Yeah. Now you're Blizzard, the company that sometimes puts out amazing games.
Right. And then you know, even when they do make mistakes, which are small ones, but they'll make a mistake like, oh, that auction house thing didn't work out.
Real money auction house.
Yeah. Sure. They admit it and took it out. Like, this is unheard of with other companies. And so when you complain to high heaven that SimCity had so much promise and sucked so bad, that new one, just remember how Blizzard might have treated that property. They would have, one, canceled it because it wasn't coming together. Two, took the time it needed to do it right. And three, never rushed it to market. You would have had a great city building game. And it would have been because
of spent another 6 months on that thing. Who knows?
Yeah, that's the culture you want, guys. That is the... The other thing maybe makes more shareholder sense, more business suit sense. I get it. But this thing that they do is this is how you want your games.
Now you open up a whole can of worms when you talk about shareholders.
Yeah,
because that whole thing, the fact that at one point we decided companies should be owned by a lot of people, that really screwed everything up for a long time after that.
For a lot of stuff. It's why some companies never do it. And to some of them, to their success. I mean, some are more geared.
The IPO, you know, gives a ton of capital, allows you to work on a bunch of stuff, right? That's the benefit for them.
Right.
The negative is that now you've got all these people that you have to keep happy. That all they care about is the money that they make off of their money that they spent. They don't care about if your company's actually good at what it does or what, you know, or any of that.
Yeah, they should be.
That's what sucks about the whole damn thing.
They should be happy about that, but they don't. Up. You're absolutely right. It's like, I want 50 cooks to cook in my kitchen is basically what you're asking for.
Yeah, no, but it's like... At the end of me cooking in that kitchen, I now have to dole out a slice of carrot to each one of you 50 people.
Right.
And really, I should just be worried about if I'm making these carrots really good.
And be impressed that Blizzard somehow, even in the face of that, there are now shareholders breathing down their neck. They have to do quarterly reports. In the face of that, they still did it.
No, they still made this decision. So that takes some balls.
It takes
the guy who
balls.
Had to go into that boardroom meeting and be like, all right, guys, here's the deal. You know how we spent all that money? Yeah, well, that money's now gone.
There's probably Morheim.
Get that money goodbye.
And maybe he gets away with it because he's such a nice guy, but he... Yeah, I mean, what a deal.
He said, hey, I'm Mike Morheim, and you're losing all your money.
I have this theory, too. I was talking about Current Geek last night about this, but I have a theory that the reason Metzen was so open and kind of just open and raw on that interview I did with him, I think has something to do with this.
Maybe
I don't know for sure.
He went through this, and he was like, yeah, that's the worst it's ever going
to
get.
Yeah, because he said, as in his own words, it was excruciating to let this thing go, and I know that he put his heart and soul and guts into it. So, you know, I don't know. We will see if Blizzard ever attempts an MMO again. My personal theory is that if they do, it's 10 years or more off before that decision is even made.
What do you think their next game is going to be? I mean... It sounds to me like they're not going to tackle another MMO anytime soon. So let's make some guesses. So they've got the card game, they've got the RTS.
You got your MOBA.
You got your MOBA now. So what type of, is there a genre that they need to jump into that they could really do well at?
I think that they could still go FPS.
No, absolutely. They could,
I think that's a genre and a thing that they haven't messed with, and it's certainly a staple of PC gaming and would do well
You could take a Jim Raynor FPS and have him go to town in the StarCraft universe.
Dude, just give me some light. Give me some Diablo light. Well, basically, I'm asking for a better Destiny because I'm kind of super displeased with Destiny. I think it's boring and I'm not having fun in it.
I hear that they're putting out a lot of stuff quickly to try to...
They are. They're trying to address it, and I own it, so I will keep... trying to enjoy it, but right now I'm like, oof, I wish they would have talked to more Blizzard people while they were making it because there's some problems. But anyway, it's fine. I'm not bashing it. I just think it just needs work. But if Blizzard said, hey, we're working on a 4-player squad based cooperative shooter or even competitive or whatever, and there's some light character building stuff, some RPG stuff, some gear, some of that sort of progression stuff. You know, the very,
I don't even care if that's in there. I just want
even if it's just a fun shooter.
Blizzard artwork and world and
sure,
you know.
But I don't think they can stand to do that. I think they have to put in. I think they're a staple of progression. I don't think that is so in their DNA now, and they're kind of doing it better than anyone else. So I feel like that there'll be some form of that in there. And you also, I mean, for good or ill, Call of Duty made it so that shooters, if they don't have some kind of progression in them, then no one's playing them.
You know what I would like? I would like to see the shooter that doesn't make your guy look really awkward while he's running around. Always totally upright. And when I'm running around on a battlefield and I have a knife,
yeah.
I've decided that I'm going to use my knife for some reason. I'm going to bring my knife to this gunfight.
Yeah.
I always hold it directly out in front of my face and sideways. That's what I do.
Sure.
So I guess that makes sense that that's what they do in the game. But I would like to see the game where it actually, as you're running, like your gun kind of bobs in a much more natural fashion. When you see other characters, they don't just kind of like only move their legs below their knees as they run for some reason. Yeah. I don't know.
And I also think because they've found so much success with using the Warcraft IP and expanding that universe with Hearthstone and other projects, why not do that with the StarCraft universe? It's ripe for it. It's awesome. It's a wonderful place to be. I would play a shooter set in that world.
Sure.
Take the best bits you had planned for Ghost, take the best bits you had planned for this other thing that got canceled, and then take that world, give me a little progression. Hot damn, I'm playing that all the time.
If you could pick your characters like Tychus, you could pick Nova, there's so many.
Or even make your own.
All these different styles of person.
Yeah, be a fire bat, be a freaking whatever, and call in support vehicles and just freaking siege tanks come to your side. And
jump in a siege tank, take that thing around for a little bit. Siege up.
You know what? You just describe what I want. It's basically Battlefield StarCraft edition. It's that scale, okay, and it's footmen all the way up to like siege tanks and wraiths and everything in that game. Give it for all of the factions. Give me all three factions. Make that your big shooter progression based shooter game. I am playing that till my eyes bleed at night.
It'd be awesome. And the other thing I want Blizzard to do too is more mobile stuff.
Yeah,
I want more Blizzard in my phone.
Yep.
They're
doing that. There's no way they're not working on more stuff.
No, absolutely. They have to be. Because, now the seal is broken. The Hearthstone is live on the iPads.
Yeah.
Time to get going on some more stuff. Because it's clearly going
to
work.
Here's another deal you can do. It's time to undelete your character in World of Warcraft. Oh. In the upcoming pre-Warlords Draenor content patch, they've added this new feature and allows players to undelete characters. That's kind of weird. So somebody you've gotten rid of. But before you undelete that character, a few little limitations they want you to know about. Characters under 10 and Death Knights at 55 are not eligible. So if you deleted them as lowbies because you were just testing them out, those are not undeletable. Mm. Characters between 10 and 29 are no longer recoverable after 90 days. Characters 30 to 49 will be no longer recoverable after 120 days. All these characters or all other characters 50 and above are eligible to be undeleted anytime, anywhere. It says, keep in mind, we'll only be able to do the undelete option once every 30 days on your character. Now, this to me is like, well, I've never really deleted anybody, so this applies to me not at all. I don't really care.
No, I don't think I've deleted a character. I've had a bunch of characters when I first started, and I just moved to a new server and started playing there, and I never deleted the old ones.
Yeah, I never got rid of any of that either. So I don't think I'm the one they're looking for here. Here's the insidious bit. I think who they're looking for is that guy who played 80 hours a week and had two mains and they were like decked out and he did nothing but play the game all the time and realized he had a problem and he quit the game. And the way you quit the game is you ceremoniously delete your all the stuff on your character, remove everything, give all your gold away, and then do a big delete and record it on YouTube. And now I am free from my addiction and you walk away from the game. Mm-hmm. Those guys are going to go, huh? What? They're gonna let me come back in. Like
I can come back?
Come back and get my guy back. Like I'm not, I'm not saying Blizzard's being
I don't think that's who they're targeting, but they will there will be some crossfire will hit some of these guys for sure. But I think really it's that there are some people who didn't have a serious problem who just decided at one point, I'm gonna leave the game. And when I leave, I might as well just delete my character. I'm not planning to come back. And it was much more of a casual thing for them. But now they may have considered at some point coming back, but it's, I'm not going to make a new character and work my way back up. So Blizzard's this is another step in making it easy to come back.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of other steps to make it easy to come back. I mean, boost my guy up to 90,
sure.
All that kind of stuff. So this is just another way to say, hey, if you want to come back, man, we got you. Yeah. It's cool. I think it's get on in here. You'll be 90, undelete your character, whatever you need to do. We got it.
Yeah. So if you did that, I guess you're excited. And it doesn't affect me, but there's a really interesting article on The Verge or somewhere that talked about a guy who did just this, ceremoniously sort of killed his character. And now he's tempted to go back and get him back.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's pretty funny. Heroes of the Storm, a little note for you folks who care about that. There's a bunch of Blizzard stuff in there, obviously. Well, not Blizzard, World of Warcraft stuff in there. So, hey, it's connected. They got one more wipe. This reminds me of Hearthstone when they did one more wipe of all your progress before it's basically done. Do you think that means by BlizzCon or at BlizzCon, they officially launch this thing as no longer alpha, beta, whatever it's in, that this is now open to everybody?
No, I think we go open beta before that ever happens.
You still think we got a beta period, just no more wipes?
We're still, technical alpha, they said, here's the end of it. It's coming. Mm. It's almost here. So this is basically wipe, no more alpha. Now we go to beta, but it's still like invite only. And then at some point we'll do open beta. Everyone who wants to play can play as long as you sign up.
Yeah.
And then we'll get a release. And I'm thinking, it makes me feel like they're feeling pretty close to done. So, I mean, maybe summer of next year or something like that. Yeah. We can see the full release of this game.
Yeah, I'm into that. I'm all in for that. So that's coming. They released a bunch of in-game cinematics this week that were taken from actual sort of, I've just finished this zone story and now I'm going to watch a short in-game cinematic type stuff. And it's all in the quality of like the Siege of Orgrimmar intro launch one, which is super good. They've just nailed this.
They've gotten much better. They never were that bad, honestly, but they've gotten.
Well, if you go back to like Wrathgate, better. Like Wrathgate.
Yeah, yeah. But like, even that was cool at the time.
At the time, it was neat. But you look back now and you're like, oh, yeah, okay. You were struggling with the limitations of the engine. You were doing great work, but, you know, whatever. This one, I mean, they are basically, they've created enough animation tools that they're able to take these models and do stuff that you could never see in the game, but with in-game models. And then they go and do a lot of sort of after touching. And for those who do not want to watch these and don't want to be spoiled, the comparison I would give is in Lords of War, the series that's on YouTube now, which is not spoilery, but tells you a bunch of backstory. The intros to each one of those features. I just forgot his name. Who's the big blue? Who's the Draenei guy? Ah, crap.
The Draenei guy is.
Murad. Thank you. Murad.
Murad.
Murad talking to Zippy there, king of the freaking alliance. Slappy. What's his name? Jasper. Jimmy Bob. I can't think of his name.
Clearly, it's Jasper.
Nobody's names are coming to my head right now. Anyway, that guy.
Murad the Vindicator.
What's his name's dad? Freaking. No names are coming to me.
I'm just gonna let you go on this one.
King Varian Wrynn. Thank you, Scott. Mm. Jeez, I had to really pull that one out. They're having their little conversation about the war and what to expect, and then they go off into that kind of art style, right? Well, it's that initial part where those two are talking that in-game style.
That's all done with actual, So the newest Lords of War is Murad's story, correct?
And it's amazing.
Okay. I still haven't watched that.
Freaking loved it. It's got me. I am a Murad guy now. I am super stoked about his storyline. I really, and if you do not want to be spoiled on his story into this expansion, I would recommend not watching these zone cinematics that they put out.
Yeah.
Because they are very spoilery.
That's the story that we're actually going to get, but the Lords of War stuff, get in there.
Yeah.
Watch all of it.
But Murad, dude, he's a badass. Yeah. And
he's got the crazy, the huge kind of club that's made out of some sort of a glowy egg thing. I don't know.
He's the one from the BC expansion, right? That opens the Paladin book and does a little spell and then walks out. I'm pretty sure that's him. About time, man. I mean, I haven't given a lot of.
I know. He never was really part of the. Okay.
He's awesome.
He's a guy. He exists. Yeah. Sure.
That's what I love about these things. They are opening up all kinds of stuff. And I'm way, way more into him right now than I am about whatever Thrall's up to or whoever.
Do they cover how sensitive his tentacles on his face are in the. I'm just curious.
Yeah, you can't touch him without.
Is it like cat's whiskers? Like if you kind of like brush past it, they'll freak out and be like, hey.
Watch the tentacles. I'll hit you with my big egg-shaped hammer deal. He's cool and his story is awesome and that Lords of War thing is neat. And his some of the bits of the cinematic he is in are intense as hell. And I don't want to spoil anything, but let's just say there is some resolution in the Grand. That's all I'll say about that. Mm-hmm. That is not a spoiler. There's some serious something that happens in the Grand, and it's awesome. I actually recommend you watch them, dude. There, none of these.
Oh, all right.
Now, I don't think, I mean, there are going to be people that absolutely do not want to watch them because they feel like they're going to get spoiled. I think all of what I saw are all kind of indicators of things I already sort of knew were coming. So it isn't like they're going to blow my mind here. They're just so freaking well done. And they are so more Alliance heavy than I expected. That's maybe my most exciting bit is how into some of these Alliance characters I am. I don't even know the name of the mage that you're storming everything with. What's that guy's name? The gray-haired dude. Right now he's a big, tall guy in the beta that you have to go talk to in Orgrimmar. Anyway, or at least he was.
Are you talking about the dude you have to talk to at the portal?
Yeah, I don't know his name. Big, tall guy.
Archmage something.
Whatever his name is. So this is how bad I am at the Alliance side.
I know,
the story.
Okay, so here I found all of them. He is very compelling,
that guy. And he's only on screen for a bit, but my gosh, I'm super into wherever the hell we're going with him. So anyway, it's good.
I guess I'll go through all these. What, eight of these?
Holy crap. And they're great. Wow. I think they're great. Okay. I'm super impressed, and it has me more excited by the expansion than ever. Just know, it's important to know that they do contain spoilers. It just depends on how sensitive you are to those or whether or not you want to, see them for the first time in the game or not. I think they're rad, and I can't wait to see them again in the game. So I'm that kind of player. I don't really care. Also, that Kilrog Part 4 deal was really good. Part 5 was the one with, I keep saying Gul'dan. Murad, thank you.
Yeah.
Gul'dan is nothing like Murad. Murad would destroy Gul'dan. Gul'dan's slow and has too much crap on his back.
He's got all those little tiny skeletons hanging off of his belt.
Gnome heads or whatever.
Yeah.
Kilrog 1 was really good. I think this is just what I'll say about that piece of story. As the Lords of War go, or as the Warlords go, he's the one that scares me the most because there is a religious fanaticism to that guy that sort of thing freaks me out, where people are willing to do horrible things for what they think is, some sort of divine reason. And that's one of those guys. And he scares the hell out of me.
Also, his eye just floats around and can see you wherever you are and stuff. That's annoying.
And when you get the story about why his eye is doing that, or why there's no, why that eye is not part of his body anymore, you'll be like, oh, okay, woo. those guys go a long way to
that is intense, man.
Yeah. And that whole cinematic is all about, well, we are guided by the light here on the Alliance. Who guides these? And he says, well, the one in the jungle. And it's awesome. It's really well done. So go watch it. They are doing some of the best freaking story work right now over there. If this is Blizzard's new way of giving us a bunch of lead up, I am so in on all of it. I think it's just
what's amazing is this story has, if you think about just the story of WoW, has just progressed in such a nice linear way and for so long, and nothing has really, to me, been out of place. Like they haven't gotten to a point where it's like, okay, well, what happens now?
They've kept it clean and sensible.
You can go back and it's like, oh, this makes sense. This character is consistent. This character is always consistently done what I think this character would do.
Yeah, it's good.
That's tough to do, man, for this amount of time. That is not easy.
Completely agree. It's really, really good. So anyway, go check all that out. Let's lean into this.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
All right, the Town Crier is where you guys get to leave us phone calls and messages, and they're brought to you by the AIE Guild Gameathon, which is coming up real soon, October the 4th. Is it next week? It is next week. Here's the deal. If you want to be a part of this thing, it's basically a chance to play with some of the Frogpants people and Instance people and Guild people that you already know and love. You can throw down a little bit of money, and that will help the Guild do all kinds of things, including pay for things like the Guild Hall at BlizzCon and other Guild events and things that happen throughout the year. If you're a member of the AIE Guild, there are details at aie-guild.org, and that'll tell you everything there is. There'll be links to all of the packages, and you can find out how you can support today. I'll be playing Diablo 3 that day, and I'm pretty excited to be doing that live on Twitch. That's another important point to make. So read all about it, aie-guild.org. All right, you can call us 206-202-3969. That's our phone number. Or you can email us at theinstance@gmail.com. Both attachments and regular emails are accepted. Here is a phone call about the extent of the squishing, or the swishing, but mostly the squishing.
Hello, guys. Great job with the show. I just called. This is Bruja, Protection Warrior from Stormreach. With the new expansion coming out, I just want a quick question. Blizzard's talking about squishing numbers and all that kind of thing. I'm just wondering if we're still going to be able to solo different dungeons and that kind of thing, like old raids and that kind of thing. If, you know, you go in there, level 100, and you want to walk through Kara, are we still going to be able to walk through Kara with no problem? Or is there going to be issues doing this kind of thing? Thanks, and keep up the good work.
I love his freaking accent. Go Sox, I guess.
Yeah, Bostonian.
So I'm going to say absolutely you shouldn't worry about that, because the number squishing isn't bringing everything to current or making everything level 90 to 100. All the number squishes are the statistics behind damage and healing and how many hit points something might have, how much experience you're going to get for certain things. That's all just been squished down. So if you are currently waltzing through Kara, you'll do the same thing. It's just when you hit something,
it'll be less
numbers.
Yeah, my understanding is you will. It's a valid concern, though, because, are they squishing all the bosses in Kara, too?
Yeah.
Like, are we getting squished, and then Kara is, like, left alone, and then I go back in, and now
I
have much less agility on my hunter, and so now my attacks aren't doing as much because those minions in there are still the same.
Well, everything they've ever said points to everything's getting squished across the board. So unless they come out and say something different, I think you can count on that. You should be fine. It wouldn't make sense for them to be picky either. I think they wanted to sort of algorithmically do this in one big sweep. And I think that is indeed what they've done. We got another one here about race-specific garrisons. It's actually a pretty cool idea. It means a lot of work, but I like it.
Hey, guys. I was just listening to the most recent instance, and Turkster was talking about garrisons, and he was talking about how the Horde garrison is so orc-centric and the Alliance garrison is all human. And I was thinking, what if they had individual garrisons for your race, whatever your player race is? So your character is the Blood Elf, you have a Blood Elf garrison. All the buildings look like the Blood Elf building. Just a thought. I know it would take a lot of extra work on Blizzard's part, but I think it'd be a really cool little personalization thing. Just interested in what you guys think about that. Thanks for the show.
I like this idea a lot. It does mean a ton of work, but that
Sure. Yeah, but I mean, if I'm an orc, I've got the horns and the really kind of rough and tough looking stuff. But if I am a Tauren, it should be very earthy and it's totally different. It's like huts and things like that. And if I'm a Blood Elf, maybe I have magical brooms running around sweeping my stuff up.
You undead know? Got like ziggurats that. And freaking hollows and stuff. Like, yeah, I think
that's very true.
It's a great idea.
Because essentially what we have now is we have orc and human, which makes sense. You know, they kind of lead their respective.
It seems like they've opened it up to the possibility, though, that they could add all this later. So,
absolutely. I mean, I'm sure we're not done with what we're going to get with garrisons. So,
they're just getting started.
But it's a cool idea. And I like it.
I like that a lot. How about this one? Why not more help in the game? Here you go.
Hey guys, versus Blood Elf Mage from Horde. Love the show. Had a question for you. A while back, you were talking about how do we make the players better without holding their hand. And I'd always wondered if we could have done some improving ground to create, like, virtual dungeons, one filled with bots to play the other roles, just so you could learn your role in a raid and kind of the mechanics that went into the fight, because that'd be so much easier than just watching a video and things like that. And it would give your player base more skill and less frustration in LFRs. Anyways, guys, love the show. I think you're all hilarious, and it's just keep up the great work.
Thanks, man. I don't think it would. The problem is it's never going to give you the real deal. Like, the AI will never be enough to tell you how you need to react or
It wouldn't be exactly accurate, but it is, I think, a better alternative to just nothing, basically.
yeah, which, that's true. You know, like, what we have now
currently. Yeah. Yeah, currently it's like, well, hey man, just do it, go in there, see what happens, and then get yelled at. Or especially if you're a newer player and you run in, and everyone's like leveling alts and tank is just tearing through, no one's looting anything.
Yeah,
no one gives a crap. If you did this and you could actually like tune it to the correct level for where you are, and you choose what you know, what you do. So my role is DPS. I go in there. There's a tank. There's a healer. There's two other DPS. If I get too close or something, if I'm a ranged DPS, maybe a thing comes up and says, it's better for ranged DPS to stay towards the back of the pack and fight for, you know.
Yeah. You could do some general stuff, sure.
And you're fighting from the front. It says, hey, why don't you try fighting from behind? You never get parried and, but you know, that kind of stuff. Sure. There's a lot of things that can happen.
Yeah. But don't you think this is a case where Blizzard once again looks at the internet and says, hey, guess what? Almost there are literally thousands of videos on YouTube that do this very thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they know that the community kind of handles this for them.
Yeah.
And it's nice. That's a nice thing to have. But it can't hurt because okay, while the community does handle it for a lot of people, there's I think out of the amount of people who play this game, there's a lot of people who never even seek out what the community does.
Yeah.
Their whole experience happens inside the game, and never once do they think, oh, I should probably Google something and look at some YouTube videos.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a pretty large portion of people who just don't really seek out information. They just go.
They just do it. Yep.
Those people might be struggling.
That's what LFR is for, man. Just going. Just go.
Yeah. Get in there and do. And obviously, that's going to eventually get you where you want to be, but I'm the type of person who always goes and looks and seeks out the information. Anyone who listens to the show obviously is too.
Sure.
But I know that there's a lot of people who do not.
Yeah, absolutely. Never even, and I'm very selective. It's like some of that I just want to figure out and rough and tumble my way through. And sometimes I want to get real specific about it. So because you're dealing with that kind of variety, I think Blizzard trying to track down what is the most basic core thing to do, I think they would just rather make a video than try to do it programmatically where you can interact in that space.
And they've done in a way the proving ground and stuff already kind of tackles this issue. And they give you your dummies and stuff so you can practice your rotations. There's tools in there already. It would be kind of cool to have this kind of automated way to do it, and that exists in other games. Like when you play for the first time, when you play Heroes of the Storm, you get this little tutorial you go through. Yep. You got bots to fight against and all that stuff. Yeah. So it's not unheard of, and it's not something they can't do.
Yeah,
not in this game yet.
Have you played Smite? Just curious. Have you played that Smite game?
Yeah. Jocelyn got me. She convinced me to give the Smite a try. It's pretty fun, man.
I like it. I was surprised how much I liked it. I think that change of perspective really tweaked me. I didn't expect
The theme of it's not even just that. It's, you know, the fact that you're playing a MOBA and you're playing it from the perspective of your character is pretty cool.
Yeah.
The awareness factor obviously can kind of suck. You still get the mini map and stuff. So
sure.
Yeah. You know, but I just really like the theme with the gods and
all that stuff's cool. It's impressive. Those guys, the Hi-Rez Entertainment, they make cool games. I also really like their Tribes, their free-to-play Tribes game as well.
Yeah.
One email this week from Zadine from Malganis. His name's Steve. I just listened to last week's Instance episode, and you guys briefly discussed the barber surgeon thing. We were talking about how, you know, that cartoon, would you like a haircut?
Oh, Dr. Barber?
Some surgery, yeah. That whole thing. Just thought I'd cite where it actually came from. There were real things in medieval times, barbers and surgeons and physicians. Barber were the surgeons and physicians were not. Also, because I'm in Colorado, it doesn't mean I have to smoke legal weed. Anyway, love the show.
It's the law, isn't it? Now you have to smoke the weed.
That's a good point. But it turns out barbers and surgeons were often the same guy. So you would literally go in there and say, I need to remove this bullet from my calf, but also can I have a haircut?
Like, well, while you're at it, take a little off the top and fade up the sides. That would be sweet.
Have me bite on a piece of wood while you cut my leg off. Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
And shave an haircut.
Exactly. All right. There's your emails. There's your calls.
Okay. Yeah. I got a bone to pick, though. You have to smoke the legal weed, man. You know how many people? This is like the children in Africa argument you always got when you were a kid. And you're like, I don't want to eat this last cracker. And like, you know, a child in Africa would love to have that cracker right now.
Yeah.
Fine, I'll eat the stupid cracker.
When I was growing up, my
teenager in California would love to be able to smoke that weed, Steve. So don't leave all that weed on your plate. Okay?
Here's what I've never smoked weed. I have no idea what it's like. But I can tell you this. if it became legal in my state, I would at least eat a brownie or something.
I think that would be cause for the end times.
Well, it would be because Utah having legal. Yeah. I'm actually surprised. I'm a little surprised Colorado got it through, to be honest. And I guess there's been trouble with it there. But anyway, the point is, if that did somehow happen, I would. I maybe even more than that. The point is that I would at least try it. Yeah. Because the illegality of it is what keeps me from ever doing it. Because I'm a guy who believes in doing legal stuff. Hmm. And I think the law is important. And even the ones I don't like are important and all that. I'm not some kind of weird drug head and can't wait to get my lips around somebody's joint. But I think if it was made legal and I could put it in a brownie or something, I'd try it once.
Yeah?
Why not?
All right. Well, I hope I'm there if that ever happens.
I'm saving Nerdtacular, dude. Nerdtacular 2020 will be in Seattle, Washington. And
oh, man. Here we go.
Scott will eat a brownie on stage.
I think you should watch the latest New Girl. They eat brownies and then they go to a party full of cops. It's pretty funny.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah.
That show's great. I'll watch that.
It's actually really good. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is good.
What's funny is the movie Let's Be Cops, though, starring two of the people from that.
Yeah.
Awful. God awful.
Is it bad? Okay.
Out of that movie. Yeah.
Right. I'm not going to say it.
Walked out of that movie. Everybody else in that movie was dying laughing.
Yeah.
And I could not stand a moment of it. I was like, no, I need to leave this place.
I've heard similar things. Glad to hear it's been confirmed. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to have your call listened to or your email read on the show, again, those addresses to use or those ways of doing it are theinstance@gmail.com and 206-202-3969. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of today's broadcasting program. We are done. Terpster should be back next week. He has been on a tear with these conferences. Every weekend he's had something new going on. I think today they are on stage for some sort of Q&A about the new Assassin's Creed or something with the Yogscast guys in some British thing called EDC or something. Or EJ something. Anyway, should be back next week doing the deal again with us. Dills, you got anything to pimp or talk about? You got anything you want to mention before we go?
For me? Oh, well, I guess I should probably mention the thing that's coming up on the October 4th with the AIE Guildhall stuff.
What are you going to be doing? Are you going to be playing something?
So Jocelyn's putting together a like mini Hearthstone tournament, 8 players. So 6 players who buy in plus me and Jocelyn will be in it. So you get a chance to play against us and, should be cool. It help fund the stuff, help fund the guild hall and all that.
That's great.
And get to play some Hearthstone with us. Yeah. So if you're interested in that, I think all the information is in the same place everything else is. So,
AIE-guild/org or sorry, AIE-guild/.org.
.org. We don't slash before our comms and org.
What am I in the part of the
and check out the instance /net for
those slash
but yeah so
slash
check that out
names, yeah
and then Giants going to the playoffs, that's good.
Yeah,
so
that is I good think, weren't you worried you yeah. were pretty worried
we were worried man I mean we're only going to the wild card, so we have one game playoff, which if we lose we're just out, but
and that'll be it.
Whatever, hey, at least we're something.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that. I think it's on Wednesday, which is the game. So that kind of sucks that it's on a weekday, but whatever.
Yeah.
When you're the lowly wild card, they don't wait for the weekend for you. They say, you know what? Nah, you guys play on a Wednesday. Yeah. So,
well, clearly the torture cast will have things to say about this.
Well, yeah. And I think I'm actually going to the game today to be in the press box. I think that's what's happening.
Oh,
so,
fun.
No, I got to confirm that, but I might be at the game later.
That's really cool. Awesome. We'll look forward to that. On my side of things, the Diablo show a little bit later today, there'll be a new episode of that. And there's lots to talk about there. I got a brand new patch and nobody's very happy about the price increase of all of Kadalarha's Kadal is her real name, but I call her Kadalarha. Anyway, call her money. All of her prices went up, although her significant increase in the rate of drops, and we're going to get deep into that. So watch for that coming up later. TheInstance.net is our website. Instance Show, Scott Johnson, Willie Dills, and The_T are the Twitter accounts that you want to be following. Our theme was created by Matthew Oxley. That guy's insane. Big thanks to Paul Swickard, our intern, and more shows just like this at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll see you next week. Jeez, what the hell was that about?
Makers will pull the plug after finding catastrophic bug. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind.
Alduar, Uldum, the Vale of Eternal Blossoms. All across Azeroth, miraculous examples of the Maker's craftsmanship are evident. But all too often, these ancient marvels have somehow been corrupted by those with evil intent, used to further their nefarious purposes. For a race that prides itself on perfection, it sure seems like the Makers aren't very good at quality control. This week, however, a researcher at the Mulgore Institute of Technology discovered the weakness that gave the villains the ability to take control of this powerful technology. The ancients' use of hammers to pound and shape their materials acted to weaken the security protocols of the finished products. As a result, every piece of ancient machinery is at risk due to this flaw in the Makers' bash tools. The Pantheon was horrified by this discovery and unfortunately have concluded that the only solution is to cancel the entire Azeroth project. Amon Thul apologized for the situation, but given the widespread impact of the exploit, he could see no other viable solution. Bran Bronzebeard and Harrison Jones took the news especially hard. ODN found them getting drunk at a karaoke bar singing Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On over and over, and insisting that the Makers were making a Titanic mistake. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Welcome. This is Deterin with another edition of Ask a Magus. This week is a PSA sponsored by the Mages Association for Non-Destructive Good. You've heard it. We all have. You may have even laughed at it. But this isn't a laughing matter. That was the curse of Wilhelm. It affects all manners of life. Men, women, orc, human, small squirrels, living, and undead. Those affected begin with bits of clumsiness. They might fall off the zeppelins, or that large chain in Blackrock Mountain. And they always make that scream. Most people think that is all. Before they know it, those afflicted by the curse become what we phrase as cannon fodder. They, without their knowledge, walk right into danger. It becomes worse when raiding. They often become the first to die. Others who die with them seem silent. That's because the scream drowns out everything else at that moment. So please don't laugh this off. If you see, or hear, anyone afflicted by the curse of Wilhelm, have them vent to be decursed before it's too late. Send your questions to AskAmagus on Twitter.
Revan Geek and Noggin Fogger Elixir present Real Azrafian Heroes.
Real Azrafian Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Titan Speculator.
Mr. Titan Speculator.
Blizzard always says they'll release something when it's ready. Apparently, Titan will not be ready.
Ready, set, no.
You had filled trade chat with speculation for years about what Titan might be. You connected the dots, theorized, and even sent the instance an email.
Stick to the subject.
Don't despair. There's still plenty to speculate on. The expansion is right around the corner. I'm sure you'll find something new to be able to talk about.
How about a Wild Dance Studio podcast?
So crack open an ice cold Noggin Fogger Elixir, you speculating, percolating so much for waiting. Prophet of the Unknown Game. Think of Scott's time. It's one less podcast he has to do.
Mr. Titan Speculator.
Follow me on Twitter at RevanGeek, hear old episodes at RevanGeek.blogspot.com, and subscribe to RevanGeek's Parody Palace and I Remembered It Better on iTunes.
Hey guys, it's June to fall and the Warlock, I know it did. I don't have a question, but more of a call to arms that I could use some help getting more publicity. I and many others are having trouble finding groups to complete the challenge mode before Warlords of Draenor. Using OQ and OpenRaid is helping, but it is going very slowly, so I urge all listeners who need the help or can offer the help to go to reddit.com/r/lookingforgroup and find the post titled Call to Arms Challenge Mode to find or offer any help. Thanks for your time. Keep up the awesome podcast. Dark Lady watch over you.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there!